Hey everyone, and welcome to season two of the Remarkably Me podcast. I'm your host, Anika Apple, and I'm so glad to be back with you. It's been a minute. I've had a good hiatus. I have been healing through this time, and I'm excited because I am still actively healing before you. That is absolutely a part of the journey. But there has been so much that I've learned, so much growth that I've experienced, and I'm excited to share all of that with you. In addition to that, what I love is that this season, I have a lot of guests to introduce you to, and they have a variety of experiences that will absolutely inspire you, will likely cry together and, and learn from their growth and their healing journeys. They have each taken their unique path and created something incredible through the experiences that they've had, which is how we create a remarkable life. A lot of the times when I talk about a remarkable life and what it means, we're focused on the parts of it that are like the miracles, the joyous occasions, the growth, and like, you know, the point that the caterpillar has become the butterfly. We're focused on that. But we forget that the caterpillar part is critical. You don't get to the butterfly without the caterpillar. You have to have the experiences that you have gone through that have shaped and molded you, where you're bumping up against the sides of the cocoon, bruising the wings in order to have that beautiful patterning that exists on the butterfly's wings. All things work together for the good. And we know that to be true. And so these stories that we're going to get to share with you throughout the season, I know are going to be inspirational for you. For many of you, you are going to feel seen. You are going to say, like, be able to identify with the experiences in the same way that I have. For many of you, some of the experiences may be like, wow, like really big and helping you to identify things that you have not maybe did notice or experience in your own journey, but now you are attuned to those things. Whatever the connective tissue is for you and the stories that the guests tell this season on the podcast, what I know is that you will be healing too. There is beauty in our storytelling that we can actively heal in the midst of telling stories. And so I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to share so many great stories with you. And I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to share some of my own experiences. As I went through season one, I definitely was learning and growing through that journey. And I've gotten a lot of really great feedback about the way that those stories and experiences touched people. And what I know is that all of the things that we are building, and when I say we, I mean all of you right now who are called to build, we're building for people to come as well, for people who are going to be looking for resources, who will need some things to help support them through the times up ahead. And so be grateful as well that you, whatever it is that you are doing gifting wise, is something that is also planned for people who will need those resources in the future. So you and I get the experience of going through and hearing from these guests in this season, but we also know that it will continue to support and help people who are coming along after us. And that indeed is a blessing. So welcome to episode one of season two. I aptly call this one, allow me to reintroduce myself, because that is what this is. I am Anika Apple. And I say that on the eve of changing my name. I'm so excited about that, to officially become Anika Apple legally, because it marks for me a significant shift in my acceptance of who God says I am. So as I stand in the boldness of my full authority, as I have been working on healing my connection to a variety of different things that have been enablers for me to stay small, that I'm moving all of those things out of the way to step into who God has called me to be fully. That said, I thought that it would be appropriate to start this episode with sharing a bit about what that looks like and what this journey has been. So, you know, from episode one, I share quite a bit of my experiences that I had gone through. I share about a little bit about the divorce. I'm always very sensitive about all of the things that I share with that, given the ages of my children. And so we honor and protect and protect what we share about that, to, you know, to allow my children to experience their truth and to learn about things about their parents and their in the appropriate times to do that. But I'm grateful that I have a very amicable relationship with my ex-husband. But clearly the change in going from married to divorced has been pretty significant. And I imagine that for anybody else that has gone through that experience, you know what I mean? You are grieving an identity, a part of yourself that has become who you are as an adult. And so I grieved the relationship and my connectivity to my ex-husband, but I also went through grief of who the identity of who Anika Apple was, or Anika Applewhite was, as a wife and a mom and et cetera. And so a lot of the healing journey in the last couple of years has been about healing this part of the identity of, like, so who am I if I am not married and, you know, actively parenting, living in the same household with, you know, the father of my children. And then another big life change happened as well. So you may remember in my story, I share that I changed jobs twice in the year of 2020. Well, in February of 2023, I left the company that I had been working for just under the last decade. And it was a pretty big deal. I very much love the company that I worked for. And the people that I worked with grew a lot. I've had great experiences. I really don't have a lot of complaints about the companies I've worked for. I've been very, very blessed. And leaving was really difficult. And if you chronicle the parts of the story through the time in 2021 and 2022, especially, I suffered from anxiety, depression, and a significant amount of overwhelm. So much so that I had to take a leave and work with a therapist and a behavioral coach to help support me in my journey back to health. And this is all in addition to the spiritual journey that I was on and the support of my prayer sisters, the mavens, of the church that I was a part of at the time, and the people around me spiritually who are my circle. And so I had a pretty amazing village around me that supported me as I was preparing for what this leg of the journey would be and to heal through the overwhelm, stress, and anxiety that I was going through. Coming back from leave, I determined that I was not going to be able to stay. And that was really difficult. There are a lot of different reasons that is the case. And, you know, some of the things more confidentially around the company I won't discuss. But I would tell you that there was a significant amount of misalignment for me. The more that I grew in the knowledge of who I was, the more I knew that I had to do something different. And when I say had to do something different, immediately people go to, oh, you needed to change your job so that you're, you know, working in your purpose or things like that. And that is not exactly true. It is true that over time you do move, you continue to move in the way of fulfilling your purpose. I want people to really understand and know that you can live, you can fulfill your purpose through your work. You can work at a company that is not your own and fulfill your purpose. You can fulfill your purpose part-time. You can fulfill your purpose one day a week. You can fulfill purpose the way that people kind of put purpose in a box as if it is a thing. Purpose is the your life. It really is the molding of all of the things together in service of what the divine has given for you to accomplish in this in your lifetime. So it's bigger than that. But to simplify it, I think a lot of people kind of think about it in such a linear way. What I am talking about is being able to breathe. And when I say that, you might be like, oh my gosh, I think you're being really dramatic. But no, I needed to breathe. So the truth is that as I was going through the experiences, the overwhelm, the stress, you know, the grief, the anxiety, depression, all of those things, that I was struggling with my health so significantly. And at some point, and you all know, and for those of you, I should say it this way, for those of you who are new to the Remarkably Me podcast, new to Anika Apple, I am a prophet. I hear very clearly from God. I am an orator. I am God's voice. I am a healer that God has divinely anointed to help bring healing to the masses. These are some of the parts of who I am. And from a purpose standpoint, I am here to help people see themselves and each other. I have a special affinity for this podcast because it is one of the ways, one of the initial ways that God showed me that I would be able to help people tell their stories. And what God showed me is people healing through hearing those stories. So I'm very clear that this is purpose work. Now, I could have delivered a podcast and still kept working at the company. The problem was when I came back from leave, all of the conditions that had significantly improved came back, and they came back very quickly. And there was a significant change, and I can correlate it to certain things and know that the continuation of work in that way was going to be an issue for me. And when I say an issue for me, I mean my health. What inevitably happened at some point is I was in prayer one day, and what I heard is that if I continued on the same path that I was on, I would die. There are very few people who know this that I have shared this with. Around the same time, one of my sisters had a dream. She's prophetic and God gives her dreams. And she saw another sister of ours who had passed on, who came to her and asked where I was in the dream. And she asked where I was. And then she said, I don't know. I think she's fine, you know, whatever. And she went over to the bed and sat down and started to cry. Now, what my sister didn't know is that same sister who has since passed on and is an angel, a guardian angel watching over us, that she had come to me. And she also said to me, she very clearly said, you must take care of your physical health. And I was like, I hear you. And she said, no, it is a matter of life or death. So with three different coordinating stories about my health, I knew that there was still something I was not quite getting right. So I had done a lot of work, put in some new practices in my life that I still utilize today. I changed the way that I worked, a lot of the things that I could reasonably see happening. I went back to go see my doctor, who again checked some of the different things, and then her diagnosis comes back. And in the same way, she's like, Anika, you're deteriorating from where you were when you were on leave. And I share the story with you because I want you to understand that we all have choices. This did not feel like much of a choice. It didn't feel like a thing that where I was like, well, I can just stay. Because the reality is, had I stayed, I would have been choosing to be unwell. And what I know as a sole breadwinner for my family is that I'm responsible. I could not imagine for a moment not working and somehow still being responsible for everyone. Like I literally can't, how do I provide? And at the same time, I was going before God saying, but God, like, I have to provide for my family. Like, I hear you that I need to take care of myself, that something has to change. I hear you. I've gotten all the messages. I'm afraid because I don't want to die. I don't want to have a heart attack. I don't want to die. I know what is being said about my health. But I'm on my own and I'm taking care of everything. And so what could I possibly do? I don't see the answer. And what I can tell you, friends, is when you are in those moments, you have to be in stillness and allow God to show you what it is that needs to be done. In my case, it wasn't about taking action. It was about stillness. And over time, what God was revealing to me, God was showing the behaviors that were contributing to where I was physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The spiritual point was the place where I was the strongest. It was also the strongest before 2020, before the divorce and the job changes and the moves and all of that stuff. It had become even stronger. It was the one place where there was such clarity. I still had a lot of growth that needed to happen. But it was a place where I was very clear about who I was. It was the one thing very decidedly I was choosing. It wasn't so with these other areas of my life. Physically, I was doing better than I had in 2019. Once I went into 2020, it was really good. But then after that, after 2020, as I went through all of the different dynamics in 2021, 2022, I was not taking care of myself in the same way that I had been. So there was significant change physically. Emotionally, I just wasn't dealing with stuff. Like, let's just keep it all the way. I just wasn't dealing with stuff. I was not processing all of the emotion fully. And I know that many of you can identify with that, because my way of navigating was, I'll be fine. I have it all figured out. I can remember I had a boss that I absolutely loved, an amazing person. And I remember at one point we had this presentation that we had to do. Went really well and everything. And on this particular day, it was not a good day. There were a couple of different things that were happening in my personal life. And good friend of mine had a really bad car accident. There was like so much happening. And I emotionally, I was all over the place. But I had to deliver this session, and delivered it, and it was great. I mean, it was everything it needed to be and all of that. And in short, later on, we have a conversation, and I'm saying to my boss at the time, I was like, I can't do this. And I'm exhausted. I have like all the reasons, all the things that were going on. And they were referred back to the meeting and were like, but you did such a great job at this. And I said, I know. That's the problem. Because I had figured out a way to show up and do the things exactly in the way they needed to be done and never let you see what was going on the inside of me. If I think about some of the dynamics in my marriage that created challenge for both of us, but that I'm responsible for, it was that I could operate in a way and not tell you that there's something wrong. In a good place where there is lots of patience and where I'm rested, I could do it without you even knowing. At exhaustion, you probably could tell that, you know, I was frustrated or whatever. But for the most part, I have been moving through my life, swallowing and accepting that things that were not okay were fine. And if you can identify with that, then I'm going to pause in this moment and say, do whatever you need to do to unwind that pattern, because it is a recipe for disaster. I would liken swallowing how you feel about things and your truth and all of that to drinking poison, because that's what it's doing on the inside of your body. It is tainting and changing your chemical makeup. The constant stress and anxiety the swallowing of your own voice, the disconnect that creates. It's all of these unhealthy conditions exacerbated. And what clearly happened over time is that all of the times, all of the moments that I would swallow it and just keep going, that I would ignore how I was feeling, that I wasn't even in touch with how I was feeling because I didn't want to know, because I didn't know how I could fix it. So I didn't even want to feel it. All of the times where I did share how I felt and the other person wasn't able to hear me or respond or support me, all of those things came swirling back. And what I saw, what I came face to face with was, here's what you are responsible for, Anika. Because you cannot control what other people do or don't do. They may be able to hold space for you. They may not be able to, but you have to hold space for you. And I didn't know how to do that. And I learned how to. I was great at holding space for others, so much so that I could swallow whatever I needed and be present for them, just like what I was doing at work. So something had to change in the same way it had to change in these other relationships in my life. That had to change as well. And it was really difficult to make the decision to leave because clearly I had no idea what would come next, how I would be able to sustain. I knew I had saved a little bit over the last couple of years to be able to provide for myself, my family for a bit, but after that, and I will tell you that it's so much bigger than this. God has something so amazing planned, and I can't wait till I can share all of those pieces. But what you need to know right now is that this was a faith walk. This decision, I can't wait till I can tell you all the pieces of the story. You will be like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You did that? Really? Yeah. But I trust God. And I can remember shortly before I left, saying to God, I hope you see that I am truly surrendering everything to you. And I was frightened, but not more frightened than the idea of dying. It wasn't just the prophetic messages, which I know to be true. I'm very clear about how I hear God. But the corroboration of what my doctor said, independently of me, she said, this is where you are. And this is where you are now. And they're the same. So the only thing that's changed, this is how you eat. This is what your exercise looks like. This is what your rest looks like. It wasn't good before. It still wasn't good after. But she could chronicle all of the patterns that I was having in my life. And we can look at things like blood pressure. We can measure things. And the measurement was different when I went back to work than when I had been back for a while. So ultimately, we have to choose life. And I can tell you that I didn't know what it meant to choose life in that moment. Like, what exactly is it that I am about to do? How am I going to feed my family long-term? And then in my mind, I was like, okay, this can bridge for this long. And then this is what has to happen. Like, I've got to have another opportunity. I've got to be consulting. I got to have a business that is picking up or something like that. And nothing happened like that. Not one thing. And it has been scary. Like, there are moments where I'm like, it's just but God. And God has never let me down, that it has been difficult. And what I can tell you is that there's not another choice I could make. Because at the end of the day, I wouldn't be here. It's funny. It makes me think right now about the dependency that people have on you. And I don't only mean children. I mean, whoever it is in your life that is depending on you, like they need you to do a thing so that they can do a thing, right? If you're not here, you can't do the thing. A lot of times we feel like I have to keep going because they're depending on me. No, you don't. If you're keeping going means that you won't be here, then you can't keep going. You cannot keep doing what you're doing now because somebody needs you and then be creating your demise down the road. Like if you have the opportunity to pause and take care of yourself, then you must do that. You must. Because if you don't do that, you won't be able to be there down the road for whatever it is that they need. My priority, first and foremost, is my relationship with God. The second priority in my life is me. The third priority in my life is my children. After that, everything else can be in the bowl together. It does not matter. Until they are adults, I'm responsible for them. And I'm always going to be responsible for me. And I am always accountable to God. And that's it. Everything outside of that is just whatever. But I can't take care of my kids if I don't take care of me. And if I don't keep my relationship with God in focus, then I don't know how to take care of myself. That's what I learned. So there's been a lot of transformation happening through my learning that seeking after God means stillness in the midst of the storm, in the midst of so many things going on around you, all of the what people think you should be doing, the fears that other people have that they sit on your shoulders. They're fearful for you. They care for you, but they're not confident that you're going to be okay. They want you to make a choice that's different because it's what's common, because it's what seems like it makes sense to them, but that's not your path. That's not what has been laid out for you. And so you have all of that noise happening in your head. And at the same time, you're anxious, you're nervous. What will you choose? I chose Anika Apple. In the midst of it all, I clung to God and said, I choose to be who you've called me to be. And my ask of you is that I will not be unwell, that I will be healthy. I want to be here to be able to take care of my children. I am responsible for them. I need to be able to be here to take care of them. And with that said, I'm committed to do whatever it is that you have called me to do. That is not easy when you sit in your humanness. But when you look at all things combined, there is no other choice. Anything else that you would be choosing would be death. Anything else that you would be choosing would not be life. We have life and life more abundantly because of who God is. It is that simple. And our way of doing things simply because it's what we're accustomed to and what people think is right has gotten us in a ton of trouble throughout our lifetime. Fortunately, all things can be used for the good for those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. I'm so grateful for that scripture and that truth. But the choices that we make, they're not always on to what it is that we need it to be. They're not always on point. A lot of times those choices that we make are in and of our humanness, and we make them from fear. What you're going to hear from me this season on the Remarkably Me podcast is how I move from fear to faith. You're going to hear the active healing stories of what my experience is. I'm going through a process of MDR I actively work with the therapist. I'm going to talk about those things. I'm going to share with you the things that I have been doing to focus on my health and well-being. I'm going to talk to you about the healing crusade and how important that healing crusade is in my life, the way in which I constantly am looking at how I can heal the different things that are going on the inside of me and how I can be a blessing to others to heal. The Healing Crusade is an organization, a community that I started. It sits in my community called the Remarkable Community. And the Healing Crusade is a place where we come together for individual and collective healing. God called it a container of miracles, which I think is incredible. And the beautiful thing about that is the more people advance who believe in healing, you believe in the ability to heal, God says you can have what you believe, what you declare in the Son's name. And so as we believe in our healing, that we can advance the throne and declare our healing, that we will have it. And the more of us that believe with a pure and full heart, we believe the truth of what God says about who we are, the more that we will receive that healing. So imagine as the people come together and are believing for their healing and the healing is happening. In the first 4 days that we started the healing crusade, the first 4 days, we had 3 miracles happen. It's significant because the third miracle kind of happened between the third and the fourth day, but it was declared on the third day and then it was finalized on the fourth day. So literally in 3 days' time, there were 3 miracles and they happened. Just the first one happened the second we closed the very first call and invitation to join the Healing Crusade. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think or ask. We just have to set the table. We have to believe. And what I shared with the people who I invited first into the Healing Crusade is that this was a season of miracles and that I was indeed believing in God. And right after that, a miracle happened. See, there was the pure and true belief in what God says is possible. And I'm doing my best to live my life with that same thought process through all areas. In order to do that, I have to work on my healing in areas where it's more difficult to have that kind of faith. And of course, I invite you to consider that for yourself. The Healing Crusade is a great place. We have a lot of fun. We do weekly challenges where we are working on different areas of ourselves. We look at 4 key areas of the makeup of the body, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. And we work across all of those elements individually, separately, and together so that we can help ourselves heal. It's a beautiful, imagine a flower just kind of unfolding. It's a beautiful process of us getting to see ourselves. And the beautiful thing about that is as we can see ourselves better, we can see each other better. Your relationships get better because you are connected to other people. And so as you stand in the fullness of who you are, you're creating the space for other people to do the same thing. And that is remarkable. So that Healing Crusade is born from some of the healing journey and healing work that God has had me doing. There are lots of other activities that we have in the Remarkable Community. There are a variety of courses. There are some of the signature coaching programs that I have that are available. So there's lots of resources there. But I would tell you that as you listen to this podcast and you listen to the stories of what people have been able to do with their life, I believe that you too deserve the life you have. And so therefore you must create the life you want. We are not our circumstances. A lot of times we believe that we are. The circumstances are just that. They are circumstances and you have choice. Part of the healing journey that I've been on is seeing where did I have choice in this situation and what did I choose? And learning that the most important choice I have is the one that I make today, right now, because this is the moment that matters. And so when I put that perspective in front of me, when I think about the decisions that I'm making today about who Anika Apple is, I know that there's a halo in that choice to what I am going to experience in the days to come. The things that I considered my circumstances will no longer be. New circumstances have to be attached to my movement to do and choose something new. Said simply, if you don't want to be where you are, then move. Then move. Change it. Because you have the ability to make choice. You just don't want to choose some of those choices because of what it means that you have to release. Sometimes it's that you have to give up something that you are coveting. Sometimes you have to give up the comfort, what feels like safety and security, but it's false. Because what's the only true safety and security that you have? For me, I'm very clear. It's my relationship with God. It has literally sustained me, sustained my household since February, sustained my health. A few months back, I went off my blood pressure medication in alignment with my doctor, went back for a checkup last month. And she's like, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you. From a year ago, I'm going to die. It's only God. It's simply only God. If we just dare to trust God. So know and understand that this journey that we're in, there's a lot to be healed. A lot of answers to the patterns that we're seeing in our lives come from the unhealed areas. And some of them may not be yours. They may truly be a part of the generational patterns that you are experiencing. The ancestral lineage that we have. And some are traumas that we don't even remember, that we couldn't even put our finger on, that we can't even speak to because they're so frozen. They're so deeply embedded that we don't even recognize that they're there and that they have impact over us. So I would just tell you, there's much work to be done, friends. And what I know is that you stopped by here for a reason, and I hope that you will go back, you'll listen to season one, and you will hit every single episode on season two, because you can heal through the power of storytelling. Storytelling creates connection. It helps us see ourselves and identify who we are and how we can move through things. It's hard for us to see ourselves because we want to see what we want to see. And that works whether what you're seeing is good or not. You know, you can go by a mirror and you can be like, oh, you look good today. You can go by a mirror and be like, gosh, your nose, your eyes are set apart, your chin's uneven, whatever the things are that you see, you're still the same person in either scenario. We see what we want to see when we're looking at ourselves. When we're looking at other people, we see something different. We can readily see and accept their truth. And because we're reflections of one another, what you're really seeing when you look at another person are things that are reflecting back to you. Your attention is drawn to things that are trying to tell you something about yourself. Even as you've been watching and listening to this, where there may be something that rubbed you the wrong way or something, a mannerism, I talk with my hands too much, whatever you might be thinking, it's a reflection for you. It's not about me. So when we hear other people's stories and we have the chance to experience them, we then begin to take those things back. And the things that keep on swirling back and forth for us, it's like, oh, there's a message here. There's something I am to learn about myself. And in that something I am to learn about myself is the opportunity for me to grow and perhaps a place for me to explore whether or not there's healing that needs to occur. So thank you for coming along the journey with us. I am really, really excited. I probably have said that five times about the guests that you will have the opportunity to meet this season on the podcast. They are simply remarkable. And I know that your experience of their experiences is going to be eye-opening for you. I know that you're going to enjoy hearing them share their stories, and you're going to feel empowered and encouraged. And so thank you for subscribing. Thank you for coming back and sharing your thoughts. Thank you for letting us know how the episodes have impacted you. And make sure that you always check the show notes, see if there are any specials or anything that are attached there, anything that we're launching, that you don't miss any episodes so you have your notifications on. And I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to sharing this space with all of you. And I thank you for listening to the Remarkably Me podcast. As always, peace and blessings.